joining us now, all the way out from Vegas, we have the head golf professional out of TPC Summerlin, Mr. Mike Messner. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, Mike, Mark, how are you? Good to see you.
Man,
good to talk to you, I should say.
I was a little creepy. It got awkward for a second, I have to admit.
Keeping an eye on both of you.
Yeah, I know. Camera here right in the studio. Yeah. Oh, there it is. He's looking at us right there.
Yeah, so somebody needs to keep an eye on us.
So big tournament coming up in about a week and a half for you guys.
Yeah, in fact, really big event. Second event to kick off the new season in the FedEx Cup Point Race. So we're excited to be a part of that schedule and early in the season to kick it off for these players.
All right. So last year, Ben Martin, Clemson guy. So good for us. Us Clemson guys.
Yeah, hometown boy. Yep.
20 under par, including a 62 in the third round. Is the golf course really that easy?
You hear these guys are good repeatedly. You see it on commercials. You read about it. And I have to say, these guys are that good. Without a doubt, the golf course certainly does not play as easily as they make it look. And, you know, Ben Martin, even with his 20 under par, and you have to keep in mind that within the last, I believe, if I have this correct, he was 4 or 5 under par through his last 4 or 5 holes. So he really turned it on late to win the event. He was actually coming from behind to win this event. But you look at past year's champions. I mean, we had a 24 under par with Webb Simpson, a 24 under par with Ryan Moore. So they really make it look like this golf course is easy to play, and it's certainly not the case.
Well, then how does the membership react to scores like that? Do they look at it and is it humbling, or do they look at it as this is possible, or respect for these players? How does the membership view such low scores?
They're in awe. I mean, just to put it simply, they are in awe when they see these scores. I mean, you have to keep in mind, the average member is not going to play from the tee boxes they're playing from. They're certainly not going to play from the pin positions they're playing from. And in most cases, the green speeds are not up to the speed that these players are playing them from. So when you add the combination of all that, and then you factor in the fact that we're wall-to-wall Bermuda. So if you've played Bermuda greens or Bermuda fairways, Bermuda rough, you know that hitting the ball offline and getting that rough, it can play pretty treacherous. So, you know, I think for the most part, you know, these are the best of the best. These guys certainly don't miss a lot of fairways, and when they hit fairways, they're taking advantage of it with great iron shots in the greens. And our greens are some of the best, if not the best, in town. And these players certainly, we give them credit for making our golf course and our greens look so good because of all the putts they do make throughout the week.
All right, so, as guys coming in maybe for the first time, you know, some of the web.com tour guys that have jumped up there and get the opportunity to play in this golf course, what's going to be key for them getting out there and learning about this golf course? What's the things that they need to know to be successful playing Summerlin?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's not a golf course that favors any one type of player, which, you know, we've seen historically over the past. I mean, you have a champion. In fact, Tiger's first victory was on our golf course back in 96. You know, a long hitter, hit a lot of fairways back in the day in 96. Then you take another player like a Jim Furyk, who's very steady, doesn't miss a lot of shots, hits a lot of fairways. So, you know, one thing that you have going into this event is the fact that it doesn't favor one type of player. Really, the secret formula to this golf course is, one, keep it in play. You have to hit fairways here. You have to take advantage of the scoring holes. The scoring holes really start in the back nine. You talk about a stretch of 13, which is a reachable par 5. You have a very short par 3 and 14, a drivable par 4 and 15, 16 reachable and 2 is par 5. So, you know, you want to take advantage of those scoring holes finishing up the event or finishing up your round if you start in the front nine. And then certainly the greens, there is a little secret to the greens here. We like to say that it all breaks down towards the money on the strip. So if you can find the stratosphere needle, you're going to be in pretty good shape to make a lot of putts.
Well, and I'm sitting here looking at what would be, I guess, the championship's the scorecard, and it's playing at 7,245 yards and a slope of scary slope of 137. And as I look at this, and you say that the course itself doesn't set up for a particular type of player, and there's scoring opportunities at the end, where might we see the carnage if that's the case? I mean, where might we see guys climb and tumble? And also, are there weather conditions that could play as big a role as anybody's individual talent base?
You know, well, as far as weather is concerned, we've been very fortunate. We haven't had any weather impacting the event in the past few years. However, we do have some wind that can kick up during a round or two, and sometimes in those cases, the guys that survive and really finish off this tournament strong are those that play well in those windy conditions. If you look at the history of our event, you'll find that without fail, at least within the last 4 years, every player that won the event shot in the 60s, and at least one of them had a low round, a round in the low 60s. So you have to be able to go low. You have to be able to keep it in the mid to low 60s, or at the worst, somewhere in the 67 to 68 range to have a chance to hoist up the trophy end of the tournament on Sunday. The Carnage, you know, we have some holes. It is a desert-style golf course, and so if you're mishitting shots, if you can't keep it in play off the tee, you know, it can get pretty penal for you and certainly bite you. You want to make sure that while it's very generous off the tee, it does require some precise tee shots, some shots where you have to come in from the right angles or proper angles. And we are probably more demanding into the greens more so than into the tees. We have a lot of elevated greens, very subtle breaks. So if you're unfamiliar with the golf course, unfamiliar with where to miss it, you know, that could certainly hurt you at the end of the week.
Again, we're talking with Mike Messner, the head golf professional out at TPC Summerlin, where they will be playing the Shriners Hospital for Children's Open next week. So how far are you from the strip? If everything breaks to the strip, how far are you from the strip?
Well, you know, we're not too far. We're about a good 20-minute drive away from the strip, just northwest. We're actually, if you're on the strip, you look towards the beautiful Red Rock Mountains, we're right at the base of those mountains there, about 20 minutes away from the strip.
All right, without naming names, because I know you don't want to do that, how often do the tour players show up a little rough, maybe on Friday morning, if they have the early tee times and things didn't go well on Thursday? I mean, have you seen some rough-looking guys for maybe being out too much?
I think Vegas brings out the best in everyone, no matter who you are.
Well, all right. So as we talk about the tournament and the way it's going to set up, I'm really curious when we start to look at the course and how things might or might not play out. When you look at where they're set up the TV towers, where would you go if you had to choose a TV tower to watch this tournament from? Which TV tower are you going to be on? Because that's where I want to be, sitting in my living room watching it on television.
Well, I'll tell you what. There is no better spot to watch our event than from what we call the Hill. The Hill is a good-sized tent where you're going to have flat-screen TVs. You're going to have a nice bar set up in there. And from that vantage point, you're going to be able to see guys hitting their second shots into a par 5 on 16. You're going to see guys with the possibility of making a great birdie on 17 and then finish up on 18. So from a vantage point perspective, that's the best spot to watch the golf tournament.
Well, all right, so when the TV towers are set up and I have to watch it from North Carolina, which TV tower am I going to want to stand in?
I'm sorry. One more time. Say it again.
Yeah, which TV tower where they're putting cameras, the angle that I'll be watching from in North Carolina, which TV tower do we want to watch from?
Ooh, from the TV tower, you'd want to watch from 15, I would imagine.
Okay.
You'd want to watch, see what's going on in 15 there. That's where all the action's going to be.
All right, so Mike, the other 51 weeks out of the year, number one, how can people get out to play Summerlin? Do they need to make tee times ahead of time? How's it work?
Well, as a private facility, you have to be a best friend of a member. I mean, that's the only way to put it. We are a private club. Certainly, we are accepting applications for membership and be happy to introduce you to our marketing director who can help out with that process.
Nicely done, Mike. Very nicely played.
I'm sure he'd be happy that I said that as well. Basically what we do is, as a private facility, one, you'd have to be a guest of a member or play with a member or sponsored by a member. The other way you can play the golf course is if you're a member of another private facility. We do reciprocate with those clubs, and we're certainly happy to take on guests from other private clubs, as long as we can accommodate them.
Now, what about other tournaments, charity tournaments and stuff through the year? Do you run any of those that are open to the public if they're paying participants in the event?
You know, actually, we do. We have an event coming up this December. It's a military fundraiser. It's called Birdies for the Brave. It's an initiative that, as a PGA Tour property, we hold near and dear to our heart. We have that coming up this December. We'll have another event very similar to that next November. We are in early discussions with partnering with a major organization, which we feel can put this event over the top. So hopefully that does take place. And if it does, we'll be sure to promote that for a lot of your listeners.
All right, so here's the other question. So your membership, When they play in their club championship and they go out and roll it out, I mean, what kind of scores are your best players shooting in a club championship?
It's funny. We have some really good players here. And when I say really good players, we have at least 15 or 20 players that are plus handicaps. We have one member here who is actually the reigning, or he was the reigning, defending senior British amateur champion. So when he goes out and plays a round of golf, he might shoot in the high 60s. I don't know that I've ever heard a score from him in the low 60s. If he were to play these same tee boxes, and he has played in a U.S. Open qualifier, in that U.S. Open qualifier, he finished at 1 under par for the round of golf. So that's about what we're seeing from our best players at the club, is somewhere around the 68, 69 range.
All right, Mike, so it's difficult to get out there and play Summerlin, but a lot of people go to Vegas to gamble, hang out, eat great food, and even golf. If, you know, try to be objective. Where, if someone were coming into town and really wanted to spend more time golfing than losing money, where might you suggest they go play?
Well, just down the road from us, our sister golf course, TPC Las Vegas. It's a great resort, very similar style golf course to ours. It's another desert classic where you want to be precise off the tee and into the greens. Always in great shape. Highly recommend playing TPC Las Vegas, which is open to the public, right here in Summerlin. Quite a few other great golf courses in town, both private and daily fee resort. If you get the chance and you have a contact, Shadow Creek is always a favorite of most golfers when they come out to Vegas, and certainly worth a trip to come out and see.
All right, so if I stray off the fairways, off the rough, into the, we'll call it the native area, do I need to be wary of any critters?
Just bring your rock club with you. Make sure that's very handy when you're down looking for your golf ball.
The rocks. The rocks do bite, don't they? They bite the golf clubs all the time.
They bite golf balls, golf clubs. They certainly do.
Sometimes it's actually kind of fun to watch your golf ball majestically bounce around like off rocks for like 5 minutes and then finally stop, and then you got to go try and find it.
Until you realize you don't have a shot on your next play.
True.
I can say those rocks are very friendly to our merchandise budget. We sell lots of wedges because of those rocks.
All right, Mike. So if I put your feet to the fire, I know we're over a week out. Give me a number based on conditions that you're seeing and what you're going to see next week. What do you think is going to be the winning score that you would put your feet up, maybe sipping a cold brew on Sunday afternoon, feeling comfortable with? What's the number?
If I were to post a number and if somebody were to hand me that number on a Thursday, I'd be very happy with a 22 or 23 under par. I mean, to shoot 24 under, you have to keep in mind we're par 71, so one of our par 5s that plays as a par 5 for the membership is actually a par 4 for the tour players. So we go from a 72 to a 71 for tour events. So 24 under par, that's pretty incredible shooting. I'd be perfectly happy with a 22 or 23 under par.
All right. Well, Mike, we really appreciate you hopping on with us. Have fun hosting the event next week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Gentlemen, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot.